Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Unofficial Bengals Podcast.
Welcome to the Unofficial Bengals Podcast. This is your host, Frank LaPlaca, and I'm a Bengals fan for life. All right, in this episode, we're going to preview the 2024 NFL Draft with my predictions for what the Bengals are going to do round by round, with some philosophies, some advice, and a whole bunch of stuff on the draft.
This is Zaire Johnson, and you are listening to the Unofficial Bengals Podcast.
Hey, Cincinnati Bengals fans, I would like to introduce to you the one and only Frank LaPlaca.
All right, the time has arrived. The draft is finally here. I am absolutely thrilled. My local supermarket has what they're calling a beef bonanza. So I'm going to be loading up on Porterhouse. I'm going to be getting some chicken wings from Wingstop. It's just going to be a total party. I will be watching all 15 plus hours of the draft like I do every year. I'm psyched. It's the best time of the offseason. You're bringing in a whole bunch of new players. You're bringing in a whole bunch of new hope. You never know if you're going to have new starters, Pro Bowlers, potential Hall of Famers. It's just a really exciting time. It's going to kick off in a couple days. I'm hoping you guys are just as thrilled as I am because it is a really fun time for the NFL, especially when you watch the draft. You know, they do previews of all the teams. They talk about strengths and weaknesses as we watch our teams draft their roster of the future. And when you look at it, the Bengals are in a really good position picking 18th because they're not going to take a quarterback. They're probably not going to take a wide receiver unless someone egregiously falls to them. So if you pull out the six quarterbacks that are predicted to go high, the three wide receivers that are expected to go before the Bengals pick, you can almost like wipe out nine guys that we wouldn't be going for anyway. So at 18 minus nine, that puts us at a top 10 pick of the positions that we need. And same thing goes when you're picking 49 in round two. You know, that pick becomes kind of like a top 35 for the same reasons I just stated. We have two top 50 picks, which if you've listened to the show before, those are the picks that I feel really matter. We have three in the top 100, and then we're picking 115. And if you pull out some of those positions like quarterback, linebacker, running back, that almost amounts to a top 100 pick as well. So the Bengals are standing in very good shape, like I said, to pull a couple starters, probably a couple rotational players. And with all those extra picks, the ability to either trade up or fill in the back end of the roster and complete some of those position groups that are a little deficient right now. Regarding trades, I would trade up to get into the top 50. I mean, there's talk that if Brock Bowers is hanging around that the Bengals may trade up a couple slots to get him. If you want to take one of these third rounders and move up slightly in the first or second round to get the guy that you want, that's not a bad move. If you want to take the extra sixth rounder or the seventh rounder and package them up and get a good third day pick, maybe move up higher there when you have your eyes on someone. Because, you know, after the first 2 days, you see what's left and that pool of players, it gets narrower. I mean, there's a bunch of players that you could obviously pick, but you get that list of maybe a dozen or so guys that you are kind of like must-haves or like really wants for you. So that's where you get to trade up with those extra picks. Having 10 gives us a lot of flexibility. So like I said, trade up if you're going to get that diamond of a player that you want or that day three pick that you just can't live without. Never trade down unless you're getting a one or a two the following year. And if you think about the draft, a lot of people make their predictions. And again, I'm not a college football guy. I'm on record as saying it. I'm not going to front. You know, there's people that want to talk about the draft that have never seen these guys play and just, you know, they read rankings or read reports and scouting reports on these guys. And I'm not gonna fake it. I'm not gonna say, oh yeah, you know, you should take the tackle from Alabama. You know, if I haven't seen these guys play, it's disingenuous for me to say, oh, you gotta take this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy. So when I do a draft preview, and as you've seen in the past, I'm talking about positions. And because of what I know about this team, I have a really good pulse on what positions they need. And if you think about the draft over the years, what positions you can get in what rounds, right? Like a linebacker, you can get a good linebacker later in the draft. You can get a good safety, a good guard later in the draft. Whereas if you want a corner or a left tackle, you know, there are exceptions, but for the most part, you need to grab those guys early. So those are the philosophies that I go in when I make my draft predictions, and you're going to hear what I think. And my predictions are going to be kind of what I would do, not necessarily what I think the Bengals are going to do, because I could do both. I could say this would be my ideal draft, and then I could say this is what I think the Bengals are going to do, but that gets all convoluted. It's just too much, and no one cares. But if you think about going into the draft, it's obvious there's certain positions that we are going to take. They're no-brainers. They're positions that the roster just doesn't have enough numbers. You know, running backs, there's four on the roster. You need to bring in someone else in that room. Tight ends, there's three on the roster. You need to bring someone else there, free agency or the draft. The big one is corner. There's six, plus if Dax Hill swings, you're talking 6.5, 7. DJ Ivy's hurt. We don't know if he's going to be able to start the season. So you're low in numbers there. So without a doubt, you could bet $1,000 in Vegas that the Bengals will take corner, running back, and tight end somewhere, somehow. Those are three positions that you can just take to the bank that the Bengals are going to pick in this year's draft. So when you look at the roster right now, there's 62 players on the roster. You need to fill that number up to 90 when you enter training camp and, you know, you move on with the offseason. So you think of it like this. There's going to be 62 that we have. 10 draft picks, assuming that we draft all 10 and don't trade, so there's 72, and then there's going to be 18 that come from undrafted waiver wire pickups and free agents. You never know after the draft, maybe you pick up another free agent, maybe you bring back a Marcus Bailey or another linebacker or Tyler Boyd, you know, things like that. So with that said, let's go over each position really quickly and just see if it's a possibility that we're going to draft. And if we are going to draft, where we're going to draft them. And like I said, after that, I'm going to make my predictions. We'll call it a quick day, and we can get all psyched for the draft. All right, quarterback. There's two on the roster now. And you think, you know, maybe the Bengals grab one late, but you don't have luck with that. You have John Walsh, you know, back in, what, the 90s. You have Ryan Finley. Kind of never worked out getting those late rounders. Can you get a Brock Purdy? Can you get a Kirk Cousins? I mean, there's a philosophy out there that says in the seventh round with your last pick, just draft a quarterback and roll the dice, see what happens. I don't necessarily disagree with that. But if you look at what the Bengals have done, especially last year, bringing aboard A.J. McCarron, you figure obviously they're going to roll with Burrow and Browning. And I think that third quarterback is probably not going to come from the draft. It's going to come from free agency. They'll get some veterans, some journeymen, and just plug him in as the number three. All right, running backs, there's four on the roster, and I would be totally satisfied going in with Moss, Brown, Evans, and Williams. We go in with those four, that's fine, but that's a position where injuries happen, so you have to bring more guys in. I figure you can get a really good one in the draft, round 5, 6, and 7, as we've seen. You can even get a good undrafted. So my prediction is the Bengals will take another running back late in the draft, and I think it might even be someone who would work under the new kick return rules, because now teams are thinking when they're drafting of that new alignment in the kick returns. So it might not necessarily be a wide receiver or a thinner guy returning. You might want to have a running back type. So regardless, the Bengals will take a running back in the draft, and it might be a running back with more of a returner ability. Wide receiver, we're pretty loaded with 8. I still see the Bengals taking one fairly early because you can get a blue chip wide receiver in the draft, even in the third round. With the college game now, there's so many polished receivers. I think every draft is just absolutely loaded there. And, you know, you have a Puka Nacua who you can get in the 5th round, as the Rams did last year. I even think you get one in the 3rd round that could be a diamond. And, again, when you have someone like Joe Burrow throwing to them, you can make, look at Yosivash. You can make a later pick into a superstar player, because it's all a matter of how the quarterback can get them the ball. If the guy can get slightly open and you have a guy that can throw the ball on a dime, it can be a very productive player if he's got good hands, runs good routes, has good yak. Tight end, they're definitely going to have to grab one, but we have three on the roster now, and I think you get someone in the middle rounds that could be a functional tight end, whether a blocking guy or a sporadic pass catcher, and you never know if we're going to trade up or if Bowers is going to fall to us. I think that's the chip in this draft. Obviously, we want to see the trenches get built up, and I'm going to talk about that when I do my predictions. But if you get a player like that, like Laporta came into the Lions, he became one of my favorite players in the league that's a non-Bengal. He was just an absolute force, and you see that that tight end position makes a huge difference. And if you have a blue-chip guy there, you could be a really dynamic offense. And now you have Gesicki and Tanner Hudson. You add another one in there. I mean, maybe we're overflowing there as far as pass catchers, but Gesicki and Hudson are on one-year deals, so it might be a wise idea to get a tight end somewhere in the draft in the middle rounds that can eventually ease into that position, give Burrow another target. Offensive line, we have 12 guys on the roster there. We have a lot of swing guys, right? We have, like, if you think about, like, a Jackson Carman, Deontay Smith, Cody Ford, Kirkland even, who came off the practice squad last year. You have those four guys that all swing at different positions. I think out of all those positions, we'll talk about tackle in a minute. You don't need a center. You have three guys there. Your centers can kind of rotate into the guard position, like your Gilliams. I mean, even Karras could play guard. We'll never do that, but that's still an option. Obviously, Trey Hill can play guard. But I think that you need to get a pure guard on the roster. Just add one more pure guard. They just seem a little light there. Kappa, I believe, has a year left on his deal. He's getting a little bit older, still at the top of his game. But I think it's time to plug in an additional guard. Just like I said, a pure guard. Not a center playing guard. Not a tackle rotating over, but a pure guard. Onto the defense, we have a lot of defensive ends, but if you can get yourself a pass rusher who slips, that's worth its weight in gold, because we all know the perimeter players are where it's at. Defensive ends, offensive tackles, wide receivers, corners. Those are the prestigious positions. I don't think we're going to draft a defensive end because we have other needs. I'm not totally sold on our full roster of defensive ends. You guys know I'm not an Osai fan. We're still waiting for Miles Murphy to develop. Sample's a nice piece. Gunter, you know, he was on the practice squad, so we don't know how much the team believes in him. So yes, they could use another blue chip. I thought we might want to grab one of those veteran defensive ends that comes in at like $8 to $10 million, like a Jadeveon Clowney. That didn't happen. So it does open us up to potentially drafting a defensive end. But I think because we drafted one so high last year, and obviously Hubbard and Hendrickson still have a lot of game left in them, I think that's going to be a low priority in this draft unless someone sneaks in there. Defensive tackle, now you think about it, we have seven of them at this point, so it doesn't seem like a position that you're going to need, but we need a pure nose tackle. They didn't bring back Tupou, and if you analyze the guys that we have, BJ Hill, phenomenal, three technique, Sheldon Rankins, going to be phenomenal, three technique, Zach Carter, three technique, Tufele, he mixes between the one and the three, so those are your four guys. The other three guys are more practice squad guys. So that's probably a position that we're going to be looking to fortify in this draft, especially with just a pure nose tackle. And again, that's another one that I mean, the elite ones are going to go high. But I think you can get a really functional, rotational guy mid-round at the nose tackle position. And I think the Bengals are going to do that. Linebacker, we have six on the roster. You know, we have the big two with Pratt and Wilson. Davis Gaither's in there as the rotational specialty guy. They brought back Bocci. We have the other two guys that were practice squad guys last year. So that's a position where you think you probably want to bring in someone else in the draft. Another position where you pick one in the fifth round, sixth round, probably can get someone who's a functional special teamer. And again, going back to those kickoff rules, you want to have some fast linebackers that can cover on kick returns. Now we go to corner. We have six on the roster plus Dax Hill. I know I said that before. What is that, 6.5, 7? Because they're going to put Dax as a slot guy, a safety. He's going to play it all. So that gives you the freedom next year to go 5 safeties, 5 corners, with Hill being the guy that can swing between both positions. But regardless, you need to come in with 6 guys that play corner. Right now, if you exclude Dax Hill, we have 6 guys on the roster. One of them's hurt. A couple guys have been backups their whole lives or practice squad with your Alan George or your Jalen Davis. So I think it'd be wise for us to bring in a corner. And if you want a quality one, you have to grab them early in the draft. So I think the Bengals are going to do just that. And then you move on to safety. There's five. Obviously, we have Bell and Stone as the starters. We have Battle as the backup. Hill swinging as the backup. Tyson Anderson as the special teams guy. So you figure you're kind of set there with five, but you need to bring someone else into the room because injuries happen. You know, we're going in there with Von Bell, who's a little bit up there in years. We're going with Dax Hill, who might be swinging between positions, and you go with a Tyson Anderson, who's had an injury history, so you need to bring someone else in that could be on the waiver wire, that could be a free agent, that could be an undrafted free agent, but I think that the Bengals are going to draft one there. And then specialist, you have a punter, kicker, long snapper. Obviously, Adam Mitis and McPherson are here to stay. You don't even have to think about those positions. To bring in competition for those guys would be more of a distraction and a waste of a roster space. But Darren Simmons has gone on record saying that he's going to bring in competition for Brad Robbins. Now, we don't know if that competition is going to come in the form of a veteran or drafting someone. And you know, you realize you can get one of the top three punters in the country in round five or six. So that's something to think about as well. And then you have to think about returner. Like right now, it's Charlie Jones, Travion Williams. Jones had a big touchdown last year, but he also showed some inaccuracies at the position. You know, going more east-west and north-south. Hopefully that gets coached out of him. Travion's reliable, but not necessarily a big play guy. So you never know if you see someone in the draft that is just a return specialist, that might be something to think about as well. All right, so with all of that said, what are the Bengals going to do in this draft, or what would I do if I was Mr. Tobin, Mr. Brown, Coach Taylor? Round one, you take an offensive tackle because this draft is rich in offensive tackles. You have an older guy at Trent Brown there. Guys get hurt. You don't really necessarily have that backup tackle to throw in there. Maybe Jackson Carman comes through, but I think this is the time to bring in a quality tackle on a rookie deal and a guy that can be here for a long time and not forced to start as a rookie. Now, other things go into play there. If the tackle that you want isn't there and you have other guys ranked higher at the defensive tackle position, at the corner position, if one of those corners falls, if Bowers falls, I mean, there's exceptions there. But if Bowers goes early and the pool of players that are going to be there that I think are going to be there, I think you have to take an offensive tackle. Protecting Joe Burrow is the key to this franchise. Burrow played 4 years. The 2 years that he missed with injury, they didn't make the playoffs. The 2 years that he was healthy, Super Bowl, AFC Championship game. I think you load up on the offensive line. You get another tackle in there. You get some guy that's going to be there with Orlando Brown and Volson and, you know, hopefully Karras and Kappa or maybe the replacements. And you just fortify that line for the next 5 years and let Joe Burrow just run this league. Round two, I think you go corner here because you need corners. You know, because you're thinking about it. You have Cam Taylor-Britt, you have DJ Turner, you have Mike Hilton as your top three. Everyone else is a backup level guy. You know, no disrespect to the others. And corners get hurt, especially physical corners that are asked to play in the system. Like, you know, they're asking Turner and Britt and Hilton to make a lot of plays in the run game, to go into the backfield. So you never know who's going to get injured, and Britt has been injured a couple times in his career already. So I think you need to grab a quality corner here, a starting level corner. And if Turner and Britt are healthy all year, then you're fine. Then you have a guy that develops and you have a great number three. If there's any injury problems, then you have a guy that you can plug in and hopefully he does as quality of a job as DJ Turner did last year. Round three, I think you grab a wide receiver at pick 80 because you can get a guy that's going to be a playmaker. You know, that's the one thing about the way that the college game has gone. It's not like you have to grab a wide receiver in the first two rounds for him to be successful. I think at pick 80, you can grab a pretty quality guy there. And with Joe Burrow throwing to him, the sky's the limit. And if you grab one at 80, obviously Tyler Boyd isn't coming back. And you have a guy to mix into the rotation with Yosivash and Trenton Irwin, and hopefully Charlie Jones comes alive. But you have another quality wide receiver, fresh legs, maybe a deep threat. You know, if maybe it's a taller type wide receiver, so if eventually Higgins leaves the building, you have another guy of his stature that can get used to Burrow for a year, you know, while Higgins transitions. I mean, that's not what I want, but I just think a third round wide receiver would be a quality pick here. The second pick in the third round, here's where you, at 97, here's where you grab that defensive tackle, nose tackle. because you probably are getting one of the top three pure nose tackles in the draft at 97. So a great spot to grab a quality player in the first three rounds and a guy that you can plug in there to rotate in your run defense and maybe not fill the void left by DJ Reader, but assist it a little bit. Round four, pick 115. This is where you get a tight end because you probably get a guy who can catch. You definitely get a guy who can block here. I think it's just the perfect time to grab a tight end. Are you getting the top three, top four? No. But are you getting a guy that can make your roster year after year and be a quality player? And again, if Hudson and Gesicki work out, they're going to re-sign one or two of those guys. And I believe those guys can be your pass-catching tight ends. But if they don't, or they leave to go somewhere else, I think you could put a fourth rounder in there that can make the squad for a few years and help out Joe Burrow across the middle of the field. Round five. This is where you grab your guard center. Right, Karras has still got a lot left in the tank, but eventually you're going to have to replace him. Trey Hill, you know, he's made the roster. The coaches like him, but not necessarily a game breaker. Maybe you bring in some competition for him and Nate Gilliam, and you have a guy that can play center, or you get that pure guard there. So it's going to be, I would say, get an interior offensive lineman. Whoever the best center on the board is or the best guard, whoever is the BPA, best player available here, you grab one of those guys there. Because centers and guards slip. You know, everyone's, like I said, stuck on the perimeter. And I think you can get a starting level guy in the fifth round. I mean, if you think about it, we got Cordell Volson in the fourth round. So this could be kind of an accompanying pick to that. And a guy that just goes into the rotation, a pure guard, and now you don't have to worry about depth there. All right, round six, 194. I'm gambling on this one a little bit, but maybe you just take a punter. You're right, you're probably grabbing a top three punter from the college football game here. You make him compete with Robbins. I mean, it costs you a sixth round pick, which is nothing. Let the best man win. And I think the sixth round would probably be the time to do it. I wouldn't go any higher than that. Or they could just take the veteran route. And then here you grab a linebacker, or a safety, a running back, or, you know, one of those peripheral positions. Second pick in round six, get a linebacker. Get a speed linebacker that's going to play special teams. Get a guy that, you know, he's not going to come in and play sideline to sideline. He's not going to be a Pratt, a Wilson. But get a guy who can play the position, who can run, and can help out on special teams. And you're low on linebackers now. You get some young legs in there, and we'll see what happens. Now, round seven, it's a wild card, right? Oh, do we grab a quarterback somewhere here? Probably not. I had my first pick of the seventh round being a running back because you can get one there. Look at Pacheco from last year. I mean, look at Chase Brown. I know fifth rounder, but you know what I mean. You can get a guy that can give you some carries in the seventh round, no problem. You can get him undrafted, no problem. So not a bad idea to bring another body into that room that can compete, play special teams, can help out in a pinch. And like I said, maybe you get a guy with some return ability, and that helps you again with those new kickoff rules. And then the last pick of the draft, the second pick of round seven, why don't you just bring in that safety? Right, you don't need him to start. You have Von Bell, you have Geno Stone. If Von Bell goes down, Battle's in there. If Stone goes down, Hill's in there. If they all go down, Tyson Anderson's in there. You're not necessarily relying on the draft to get that player, but bring another guy into that room just in case because of Anderson's injury history, Bell's age, and safety's another one where I think you can get one late. Maybe just a thumper. You know, maybe a guy who can just play in the box, who's aggressive against the run, and again, another special teamer. The sky's wide open right there, but you do need another safety to bring in to compete and to guard against injuries.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So to sum it up, the Unofficial Bengals Podcast, not necessarily predictions, but what the Unofficial Bengals Podcast would do in the 2024 draft. Round one, offensive tackle. Round two, corner. Round three, wide receiver, then your nose tackle. Round four, tight end. Round five, guard. Round six, your punter to compete with Robbins. Round 6, another linebacker that can run. Round 7, a running back or a returner type, or running back returner. Round 7, a safety to fill out that room and safeguard against injury. Mark it down. We'll see if I'm right or if I'm wrong. It doesn't matter. I trust what the Bengals are going to do anyway. And if they follow what I'm saying, I think it's going to be pretty good for them too. So with all that out of the way, I just want to say enjoy the draft. It's the best time of the offseason. When is it when in a weekend you can add 10 new players to your roster? 10 youthful players, and you just never know if you're drafting the next Joe Burrow, the next Tom Brady, or the next Achilles Smith. We don't know. That's the whole fun. That's the whole joy of it. I want to end this show with a memoriam for Mr. Bill Tobin, who is Duke Tobin's father, part of the Bengals family, and he did pass away. So I just want to honor him with a moment of silence. And a word for Mr. Tobin, use this as fuel. I know your mentor, probably one of your most loved people on the planet, has left. It's never easy to accept, but just never forget. And Mr. Tobin, you just take your father's memory and what he would do and have the most amazing draft in Bengals history, because I know you're capable. You've been doing it the last few years. Just keep it rolling, my friend. And my condolences to you and your family. And to everyone out there, stay loyal, stay cool, and enjoy this draft. That'll do it for this episode. I'd like to thank @BengalsHighlights on Instagram, the best page out there. Really cool highlights, really cool music. Definitely something you should check out. Thank you for listening to the Unofficial Bengals Podcast. This is your host, Frank LaPlaca, and I'm a Bengals fan for life.
The Unofficial Bengals Podcast.